August 21, 2021 is the Lot for Pedro Show.
Thank you. seen the world fall apart. Oh yeah. Right apart.
Suffering, working hard every day, still getting less pay. The rich have it all. About us, they don't care. I see suffering everywhere. I see starvation. Looking for a better day.
Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. We started with My Favorite Things, live excerpt at Columbia La Tour, Belgium on August 1st, 1960. Yeah, excerpt, right? Kept going. That was long enough. It just shows to go you what you can take a little silly waltz, right, and turn it into something very expressive. And then Jay Navarro and the Traitors after that with Ride Apart, which brings me to the fact that I am not man alone, because those Skype engineers in Estonia, I got Jason Navarro. Welcome aboard, Jason.
Ah, super super honored and happy to be aboard, sir.
Right.
Very happy to be here.
We got to give great thanks and gratitude to Ken Haas for making the connect, correct?
Yeah, man, he actually plays lead guitar in my other project, Jay Navarro and the Traitors. Good friend of mine.
Yeah, besides that, he can connect you with Watt from Pedro Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand you guys go way back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, beautiful man. It was his idea for the Watt Plower.
Right. He said, I think was it Fire Hose that crashed in his house before, maybe? Or his apartment, maybe? I can't remember, a long time ago. Yeah, he told me this.
Yeah, it was even further for me because I was there, but last fire hose gig was...
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Anyway, this ain't about me. This is about you. That's why you're on the show, right? You sent me all this music, and I want to learn about your journey through the music. So please bring us your earliest music recollection.
My earliest music recollection? Well... That's easy, man. That's like my parents were kind of like rockers, you know? So my house, it was pretty typical to hear, you know, MC5, Alice Cooper, AC/DC, you know, obviously, you know, Led Zeppelin and Grand Funk Railroad. That was like, all that stuff was pretty big in my house, you know? So that's like my first real recollection of, like, liking it. Not liking anything, but just knowing it was there.
You know what I mean? Yeah, your early music recollection is your parents' records.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
where
yeah.
was this, Jason?
When?
Where?
Oh, where? Oh, so, I was in my... First time I remember hearing, like, especially, like, hearing the MC5, probably just because I was swearing, you know what I mean? It was the live version.
Where did you grow up? I'm asking you, where is the house where your parents were playing these records?
My parents bounced around quite a bit. So I was with my mom quite a many years without a father. And we were living with her sister out in Canton, Michigan for a little bit.
Okay, Michigan, that's the place. And if I was there in person with you, you could show me your right hand, the palm side, and show me what part of Michigan that's in. But you said Western, so I'm thinking Grand Rapids.
No, man, it's just it's about 15 minutes outside of Detroit, actually.
Well, that's not really West. It's closer to Illinois, Wes. You're right next to Ohio there. Okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And in fact, that area is very heavy, right? There was a war almost fought between Ohio and Michigan for that area, right? And that's why you guys got all that good stuff from Wisconsin, right? The ore. Some kind of compromise. People who live there tell me about it. Maybe it was Ken Haas, you know.
Salt mines, man.
Salt mines and stuff. But it was like quid pro quo for, like, you know, Maumee gets to, and Toledo gets to be Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, where are you talking to me right now?
Right now, I'm actually in Beverly Hills, Michigan, which is also, like, I don't know, a couple miles outside of Detroit. I think it's I'm at 13 mile and 8 miles the dividing line, so I'm just a couple miles outside of Detroit.
Oh, north, okay. But I'm talking more south, I-75, you know, like that area. I know Toledo is the home of Willys. In fact, they made the Jeeps and shit in a big tent.
And yeah, man.
Also off of glass, right, Sandusky. They got all the sand from Lake Erie there and to make windshields and shit. I know a little bit. Touring helps a little bit. But I'm wondering about the pads you grew up in, because I'm wondering if there was musical instruments.
No, man, there was never any musical instruments at all.
And what about the first record you bought with your own money, Jason?
Oh, Blondie Auto American, man.
And the first gig you went and saw?
Local punk rock band. I went and saw Slaughterhouse.
Ah, there's a Slaughterhouse here in Pedro.
Yeah.
Probably a common name. Yeah, in fact, the big man plays drums in it. Can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Nah, man, none of it.
Okay,
none of it.
I'm just wondering, you know, what led you to be a lead singer in a band?
Ah, man, so probably just punk rock, man. Like, I was a skateboarder, you know, probably 1985 or so is when I picked up a skateboard. Discovered Thrasher magazine and kind of discovered the local punk scene. I was pretty young at the time, like, I don't know, 12, 13. And I had a lot of older skateboarders that would take me out to shows. But, like, I knew that I wanted to be in a band, but I was really poor. And I was kind of going down a bad road. And I had a really bad, like, family, like, situation. And my grandmother, you know, really wanted me to kind of get my head out of the family situation I was in, and she bought me a bass.
Oh, so my,
yeah, man.
Thank you, Grandma.
Yeah, man. She took me to the store, and she's like, all right, well, here's like $150. What can you buy? And I bought a bass, and then my sketchy stepdad, who was like deep in like the biker and drug world, was like, oh, I know a guy. And he took me to some guy's house, and his house is full of amps. And he's just, I don't know what favor he owed my dad.
They were probably somebody else's amps right before that.
Probably, man. It was sketchy, right?
I'm just guessing, Jason.
It's a good guess. My stepdad was really sketchy, man. Really sketchy.
No, you know, the nickname of my town is Speedro. I know all about it.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of the bikers are deep into that, like, including my dad, you know.
The favorite pickup line at the bar, nice tooth. Anyway, your story. Continue, Jason. So you got to get an amp, right? You got a bass. Now you need an amp. So this is where you get an amp.
Yeah. So I go in the basement. Of course, as a kid, I'm like, well, I'm going to pick the biggest amp in here. And it was like one of those crappy leather padded
custom
with a K. Yeah, yeah. And it had like
Creedence played. Creedence.
Yeah, totally, man. Like, it had 215s or 212s or something.
They sound
like
too good. Yeah, they're a little transistor. Yeah.
Sounded horrible, but
they look good.
Yeah, they look cool, right? And I was like, there's no way this guy's going to give me this. I don't know what favor he owed my dad, but the guy was like, yeah, go ahead, take it.
Okay. So you actually started off as a bass player. That's bitching.
Yeah, man. So, like, I was trying to learn how to, like, there was this band from Detroit called the Screaming Bloody Leper Children, and it was the first time I heard a punk rocker around here walk a bass, and I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to play like this guy does.
You know Laughing Hyenas?
Oh yeah, John's a good friend of mine.
No, but the bass man Kevin.
Oh yeah.
He went on to make a band called Mule. Jim Kimmel and Pete Lawn or some cat from Atlanta, but he was great. But not so much a walking guy. He was more like Tracy Pugh from a Birthday Party.
Yeah, man. Dude, I was just over this guy. I hang out with this guy who used to work at the Grandview Ballroom.
Yeah.
And he's a scooter guy like me, like scooters, you know, like old scooters.
Like mods.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I got like a Lambretta and stuff like that. But I go over his house and hang out because he's just a really interesting guy. He recently let me go through all his hand screen posters, and he had two different like mule posters. He actually had like a record release mule of posters too, like hand screened. I was like, I'm like, dude, a lot of people love these mule posters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and man, a great band. I got to share stage a couple times. Look, you gave me this tune, some more Jay Navarro and the Traitors, Chaos Girl. I'm going to play that. Watt for Pedro show. That Chuck Music started off with Jay Navarro and the Traitors. We got Chaos Girl. Ken Haas on that?
Yep, that Ken Haas is definitely on
All
that.
All right,
man.
Bitchin'. Michael Zerang after that with Velvet Bell for Lebanon. Field and Stream with Under the Singing Bridge. This stuff is from in Milwaukee. Brett Goodsight put out these compilations. This one's number 3, and it's I think it's called Sublimation. No, that's number 4 today. Yeah, yesterday I was playing stuff number 3, Sublimation. This one's number 4, Disillusion. Get straight, Watt. But Brett Goodsight collects music from all kinds of cats doing wild stuff, and he puts out these comps, and so I'm playing stuff from there. PPG from 99 Cent, one of Thomas DiMuzio's old bands. And then something from you, Jason, Hellmouth. Welcome to the Undertow. Okay, so continue. You get in a band with this bass, right? You do something with this bass.
Yeah, so check it out, man. Like, I wasn't cool enough. Like, once I got into ninth grade, I wasn't cool enough to, like, be in all the good punk bands in Detroit. Even though at that point I'd cut off my hair and I was a full on into it, like skateboarder, punk kid.
And you got a bass and you got a custom amp.
Yeah, and then I started playing with all these metalhead dudes, and it was kind of weird because I was the only kid in the only guy in the band who was a punk.
Yeah, then, but that's why humans are, man. Like, right? Oh, we're all open minded, but not 90% of you. And then the other group of guys, you would think they'd be all stuck up. No, they'd bring you in.
Yep, they totally brought me in.
That's what's really weird. Words and uniforms don't really matter. I think it's the way you act.
Yep, yeah, for sure, man.
That's
these metalheads brought me
in. I'm slowly learning, Jason.
Yeah, these metalheads brought me in. I started playing with them. And then I think, like, a lot of the local punk bands saw that I was, I just became the guy in Detroit who, like, oh, we don't have a bass player anymore. Jay will do it. And so all the punk bands kind of ended up just like, I would end up playing for them.
Oh, so they came around. They came around.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they all came around. End up playing
well,
for...
Well, what does that teach you, man? That music's music, right? Fuck. Genre names. you can work the fucking bass, then you got a gig.
Yeah, man. What was really cool is, like I said, that guy, Johnny Lunchmeat from the band Screaming Bloody Leper Children, was the guy I wanted to play like.
Yeah.
And a year or two down the road, they kicked him out, or he left, or I think he moved to Arizona, and that band asked me to play.
Whoa!
Because I already played like him.
Okay.
So I went in and ended up playing in that band, you know what I mean?
Did you try out, or did they ask you?
Dude, they just asked me. I worked with the, I worked in the same workplace as the singer and the drummer. And they were just like, and I knew the guitar player.
Well, that's a good connect.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
So all of us. You know what I forgot to ask you, Jason? Your first gig with that bass, do you remember it?
I remember it. Blondies. You probably played there. Pretty sure you did.
What was the group with?
It was called Intravenous de Milo.
Great name.
Yeah, man. Totally.
And how'd it go? Drag. Were you scared?
It was. Because, you know what that neighborhood is like, right?
Yeah, yeah, and also your first gig, goddamn.
Yeah, man, so, I kind of was already going to shows there, so, I knew a lot of the people already, and I kind of, moved to that neighborhood anyways.
That was cool about the movement, like, you took turns, now it's your turn to watch the gig, now it's your turn to play, now it's your turn to, not so much Velvet Rope Rock, right?
Oh God, no! Not in that bar, man. I mean, I know.
I came from Arena Rock. You don't know how much I dug the idea that you could see the germs, and then Pat's talking to you 5 minutes later.
Yeah,
Tom Bowles. Yeah, man. Yeah, Lord of Doom. It's just beautiful about that. You never saw that shit happen in Arena Rock. Fuck, I didn't even know the guy sitting next to me in the dark. So how'd that get, that gig was a success for you?
It was a success.
Right.
It ended up going good, and at this point I was already pretty deep into the punk rock and skateboard scene. So people were like, you need to quit that metal band. And I was just like, nah, these are my dudes. And then that band just kind of broke up, as usual, most, you know, early bands do. But,
sure.
You know, I was already established there, so.
Can I ask you one thing about that band? Did you write them any songs?
In that band? Nah, not really. Not in the metal
because
band.
Because you become but you become a songwriter, right? So how's that happen?
Yeah, anyways, a couple of years down the road, I start finding bands like Bad Brains, you know, and Operation Ivy and The Specials. And
Matt Freeman and Daryl Jennifer. Great bassman.
Yeah, totally.
Great bassman.
So I just kind of got, like, into that sort of thing, you know, and then I really wanted to walk the bass lines that got, like, that guy Johnny Lunchmeat I was telling you about. And so I tried starting a band, and I, like, was trying to write these songs with this guy, Dan, and I was like, I can't walk these bass lines like this and sing.
difficult.
Yeah, man, when you're really getting busy on a bass, like, I wasn't good.
I know about it. The only way I learned how to do it, you just have to force the issue. You just practice so many times, you don't have to think anymore. It's just like in your, what you call it, muscle memory?
I became impatient. Starting the Suicide Machines with them. That's what it was. I was like, I want to walk the bass lines and sing. And then, you know, I'd gone to so many punk rock and hardcore shows at that point. I love to see, and this comes from the not liking the arena rock thing, right? Like, I'd go see the show, and I'd go see, like, D.I. or go see Judge, and it's like people in the crowd were grabbing the mic and singing.
D.I., Casey.
With the singer.
You're talking about Casey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Adolescence, you know, drummer. Right, right. Richard hung himself.
So you would see, like, him kind of in the crowd
you know who was like him in Michigan was Tesco.
Oh, I love Tesco, man.
Yeah, was it called? Touch and Go. He had a fanzine. He used to write us Minutemen all the time.
Yeah, man, I'm super good friends with him. Awesome, dude.
The trippiest, they moved to D.C. or something, but I remember him writing me, he said, what's the best burrito in Pedro? I'm thinking, is this guy going to come here and find out?
He might. I know.
Go on, though. With the Suicide Machines, you're trying to sing and walk the bass.
I finally just say, you know what? Whatever. I'm just going to be the singer.
And you let go of the bass.
I let go of the bass.
And so you bring a bass man into the band.
Yeah, man, one of my best friends that I used to skateboard with, I was like, hey, you're going to be the bass player. He's like, what? And I'm like, I'll teach you.
So your first band is the Suicide Machines. I didn't know the order of the shit, but we're going to play that in the third hour. No, second hour. I got Suicide Machines.
It's not really the order of my bands, but it was the first time I really started crafting songs.
Right. That's what I meant. Like, you're the shot caller.
Yeah, like we this is where I learned how to really write a song. You know what I mean? Like, I don't consider myself a good musician. I just consider myself a songwriter.
Well, you know, like people learning how to write, right? Maybe you're not James Joyce, but you can write your name. You can write a paragraph. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yes.
See, right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's the main goal, right, is communicate. Can you remember, Jason, the first song you wrote?
Yeah, there was a song that I wrote called, God, I think it was called, I think the first real song I was part of writing was called Hey.
H-E-Y or not, or the grass?
Straight up H-E-Y, man.
Okay, not H-A-Y, but H-E-Y.
Yeah, man, like, yeah, exactly.
Hey, horses, aren't you glad you're an ass? I remember that.
Yeah, man, no. Yeah, that was the first one I remember, like being a part of actually writing, you know what I mean?
In
the Suicide Machines, anyways.
Sure.
So, but, yeah.
What was the first Suicide Machines gig like?
We played a place in Ann Arbor, of all places, called the Halfway Inn.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was nicknamed the Half-Ass Inn. But it was like it was a DIY kind of place underneath one of the student buildings in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And I saw Bad Manners, maybe.
Scott.
Buster, a singer. Yeah. At the Majestic Theater, and there's this, I met a bunch of these, like, people that were in ska bands, and they're like, hey, this band Etch-A-Sketch needs a band to open for me in Ann Arbor. They're like, you know, reggae, second wave ska. And we were like, okay, we'll play. And the irony is I remember we played that night.
Oh, because you said you liked Operation Ivy.
Yeah, yeah. But the irony was I remember playing that night, and we actually played Nothing by Negative Approach in the set.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, they were.
Negative Approach was, I remember them opening for Minutemen and Black Flag when we played City Lights.
Yeah, man.
We're at the end of the first hour, August 21, 2021. This is Watt Peter Show special guest, Jason Navarro. Hang tight for hour two. August 21, 2021, second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Silently, they are chunking rhythmic drugs. This is my filking, smoking where I'll die. Wrestling fade away now, wrestling fade away. The frosting circle, fill the blood trickle. Will you just give it? It's just that simple. Wrestling fade away now, wrestling fade away. Fade away now. Cause they fade away.
Are you okay now? Now that you come and gone, I still hear your voice inside my head. I watch you suffer more than you saw yourself. The pain it burns inside.
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Overtime and Shark Cage. Some more Hellmouth. We'll get to that. TV Pal after that. This is more for Brent Goodsite in Milwaukee with his Disillusionment compilation. Property Burden. And then Clear Story by Killick Hines and Keiki Ruokangas. Same thing. Fred Longburn Home. Tunisian Air, and then Break Anchor. This is another badge you gave me. Well, Fell Apart. So, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to, how long do Suicide Machines go?
We went from 1991 to 2003, and then kind of broke up and got back together in 2000.
Yeah, but that's fucking 12 years. That's a good stretch there, Jason. Did you guys ever do touring? Did you ever come out west?
Oh, yeah, man. Police play out west all the time. I think my first time I ever played out west in the Machines was 1994.
Where?
I believe. Oh, man. We played, like, you know, we played Gilman Street.
No, but like SoCal.
Oh, Southern California. I don't think we made it super far south. I think maybe. In the Fresno South, right? Fresno's
not
about
much.
South.
No, that's in the San Joaquin Valley. It's the big farm town. Yeah.
So the first tour or two, I don't think we played. I don't remember playing.
I mean, it's a big fucking country, so to fit it all in a tour is an ass kick, I will say.
I think I played San Diego, actually.
Oh, well, you did San Diego. Come on, that's almost it's almost Mexico. So it's pretty Southern Cal.
Yeah,
so I was just wondering around here, you know, we're like 150 towns, actually, so.
Right. No, I'd say 95 was the first time I really started hitting, like, all of California.
And tell me your experience touring. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, I mean, we were touring, obviously, before cell phones and computers, you know. We were also doing the whole, you know, you'd call up your friends or you'd get out that book your own fucking life.
Maximum Rock and Roll, Tim Yohannan, yeah.
Yeah, man, and you'd roll the dice and call those numbers and book shows and cross your fingers. And
yeah,
to be honest with you, man, like.
Well, I kind of know how to do it, but I was wondering about your personal experience, Jason.
Yeah, so, I mean, we straight up, our very first tour, it was like, all right, let's go to the promised land, right? Like, let's go to California. That's like we're. You know, people are playing punk, kind of mix of ska. That's like the place to be. Like to us, you know, Gilman Street was or East Bay, you know, was like, sure. Was the place to go at the time, right? Like at least to like some Midwesterner kid, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, we got a hold of Jesse Tuesday from Blatz and he booked us at Gilman Street and, you know, like we'd already established friends out there, like, Mike Park from Skank and Pickle because we had played with Skank and Pickle out in the Midwest.
And Mike Park, Asian Man Records. I got to do some records, for, a couple records for him. He's a great cat. Yeah, 90s. Awesome. We're talking 90s. Big ska scene.
Yeah, man. So to us, you know, the promised land.
Did you guys carry any horns? Because this was a chance for the guys in high school playing bone and trumpet to be in a rock and roll band, right?
Yeah, no, never. That's why I think all the ska bands hated us, because we were way more punk than the ska bands were. So a lot of ska bands didn't even want to touch us. You know what I mean?
Or some ska bands had a hardcore band on the sidelines, a joke project, turned into the real band like Rancid, right?
Yeah, man, yeah. That's exactly.
That's trippy how things work out. Look, you gave me this other music. More Break Anchor. You gotta enlighten me to Break Anchor and the fucking Hellmouth and shit, okay? Let's play
yeah.
First World Problem.
All right. Everyone's waiting. I'm in my room. Just can't get over the familiar smell of your perfume. How has it come to this? We weren't as bad. Remember those nights? How much we laughed? Will I do? Will I die?
Give a for Pedro show. That chunk of music, First World Problems from Break Anchor. Heretic Shaven. There's a band out of Southern Oregon called Pull Anchor. And this is Pharma Acoustic. This is from Brent Goodsets. Just Lose Your Milwaukee. Le Cabinet, Spiral, and Chris Cogburn. Vanished Gardens, Transmission Detail from Drekka. And finally, Suicide Machines with SOS. Now, I've asked you a couple times how was the experience, but you're telling me what exactly happened, I guess. I'm guessing it was a positive experience.
And that yeah,
it led to more and more tours. But the band runs out of gas, right? And has Suicide Machines has something to do with Break Anchor.
Yeah. No.
Hellmouth. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the Machines kind of call it a day for a little while, and I've always kind of been involved in the hardcore scene and crust kind of punk scene in Detroit, and I was in a negative point in my life mentally, so why not do that? So we did Hellmouth, and that band kind of consumed me and almost became, I don't know, like a. It almost became like a, it turned me into exactly what I was thinking about, which was not good. And it did not help my mental state. So did a couple of records with that band and I had to call it a day because it was really consuming me to the point of I was becoming it as far as what the vibe and the lyrics were. And I didn't want to be that person. So that band called it a day for my mental health. And then, Break Anchor was kind of born out of that because I really kind of wanted to go back to playing kind of like, something original, but, pop punk, but like with some flavor,
You mean like music was giving you problems, but then music was also the answer to the problems, just different way, just a different band. They were different cats?
Yeah, entirely different people. And it wasn't so much the people in the band. It was just the entire concept and what that band Hellmouth was kind of about was really almost destroying me as a human being.
Yeah.
So I had to quit it. And the answer was, Break Anchor and going back to the Suicide Machines, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's what's good about having good people in your life, right?
Yeah, man. It's weird, man. Like it's funny because the people in Hellmouth were really good people. It's just I was letting my own thoughts turn and consume me into a very dark human
I was kind of talking about a little responsibility, like good people means like you got to be one too.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
right. If somebody's gonna be, you're gonna have good people in your life, then you got to be a good person in their life. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, and I was not becoming a good person anymore. So I had to end that one.
Right. But like I learned in Holland, right? One door closes, two doors open.
Always, man.
And that sounds always like it here, right? The Hellmouth closes, but then you can go back to your Suicide Machine, and you got your new Break Anchor.
Yep.
Wow, That's real bitch. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, August 21, 2021. This is Wapito Show. Special guest, Jason Navarro. Hold tight for hour three. August 21, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Yeah. Thank you.
for Pete Rose Show. Yeah. Start off the third hour, Suicide Machines. Awkward's always. Now, is this early Suicide Machines, or is this the regroup?
No, this is the regroup. This is that Awkward Always is a brand new song.
Well, I'm working on the mind reading, but you're going to have to use words until I get to that point, Jason. Sorry for being incompetent. Dirty Stevens after that. It's all dairy with all the insects union from Brett Goodside's Disillusionment compilation number 3. 20-20-00813. I think it's a fucking date. Pissed off bees and an asshole from Justin Van Strasburg. Hey, I don't name these.
That's great.
Evan Lindorf Ellery with Tape Collage 2021 excerpt and the title 1992 Minoy. And finally, Cleon's Down by Inner.
Yeah.
The song's intersection in the prod is Cleon's Down. So Cleon's Down.
Yeah. So on that very first tour, man, this is weird. So the very first tour that I went on out west, we went to like Gilman Street and stuff in 94. Yeah. We played Las Vegas, Nevada as well, and I ended up meeting one of my best friends to this day, Jeff Dean.
Ah,
he said, hey, I'm gonna move to Detroit and we're gonna start a band.
Whoa.
So I went out to Vegas and played bass for a hardcore band out there with him called Tomorrow's Gone. He moved to Detroit. We started Cleon's Down, which Cleon was the leader of the Warriors in the movie The Warriors.
Ah, where some dudes are dressed up as baseball players or shit.
No, not the baseball player guys.
But the movies, there's a bunch of gangsters, right? And everybody's got their own little uniforms. And some are like baseball players.
The Baseball Furies, man. That was the name of that gang. But, yeah, okay. So we, you know, I played guitar and yelled a bit in that band. It was kind of art damage.
You played guitar, not bass.
Right, yeah. Played guitar.
What was the difference?
Was like,
how'd you feel the difference?
Oh, because we were kind of going for that early post-hardcore thing.
No, because some people will tell you that a bass is a guitar with four strings.
I still played a guitar like a bass, so.
You know what? I think a bass is like a drums with four strings.
I do, yeah.
Not a guitar with four strings, drums. That's just
my
thing.
I agree.
Anyway,
Cleon's
Down. Cleon's Down. So is this band still together?
No, man. The drummer passed away, so we kind of stopped doing it.
So,
yeah, it was too important. We can't really do it without him.
But does your buddy still live in Detroit?
He lives in Chicago at this point. He plays for a lot of
good bands.
Yeah. So we did that because when I moved out to Vegas, he had heard my other band, Roosevelt's Inaugural Parade. He's like, I really like what you're doing with that.
Okay,
like, oh, that
tell me about that,
we're
because
done.
That's the next music I want to play.
Yeah, so around 93, 94, I started another band playing guitar. I was playing guitar in it called Roosevelt's Inaugural Parade. It was more inspired by, you know, Rites of Spring.
Oh, emo.
The Pixies.
I got to play with Rites of Spring when they started. In fact, I played. Gee was the bass man. I played his bass because
wire was playing bass at the time.
I think or their bass. Yeah, I remember playing that. The neck was broken. It was pinching my fucking palm of my hand. My wire in my bass broke, so I had to borrow. Yeah, at 9:30 Club. Well, okay.
Yeah, I really liked a lot of that stuff. So I wanted to play guitar in a band like that kind of stuff. Well,
sure,
anyways,
sure.
That band broke up.
No, but let's play some right now so people can hear.
Okay.
Roosevelt, it's a great name, Roosevelt's Inaugural Parade.
Yeah, then.
Let me cut the iron, put some oil in it.
Whopper Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Roosevelt's inaugural parade. By the way, people, Chief Joseph handcuffed in the car.
Oh, yeah.
The pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Darkened skies. Talk about a darkened sky, truly. This is Interstate 190 from Regional. The name of this broad strips me out. This is from Brett Goodsite's compilation 3. Sublimation. No, disillusion. Regional headbutting techniques featuring regional headbutting.
Oh man.
Regional headbutting techniques. Get it right, Watt. Okay. Then X-backs rife with symbolism, of course, like cymbals on the drum set, right? And then finally, Left in Ruin, Trick. Left in Ruin, is there a lady singing with you?
No. It's a guy. He's a really ripping harmonica player, too, man.
Yeah. What is Left in Ruin?
So you may have that backwards. Roosevelt's inaugural parade had a lady singing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Left in Ruin is a little bit heavier in rock and roll.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely. When you're right, you're right, Jason.
Yeah.
And what? When you're wrong, you're wrong. So, correct me on that. Get me straight. I understand about inaugural parade. It sounds like it was put together the same time as your tour out west.
But Left in Ruin. Yeah, that was just me wanting to nerd out and actually play some rock and roll on a guitar.
But when?
Oh, probably like 2000, 90, 98, 99, 2000,
okay,
something
okay,
like that.
Okay, so after this other stuff, okay.
Yeah.
But right now, your contemporary band, the band you got going now, is it Suicide Machines or is it Break Anchor?
These days it's...
Oh, it's with the Traitors. It's with Ken Haas.
Yeah. The Traitors, the Machines still play quite a bit. We just put on a new record. And, you know, all the other bands, Homo, or Break Anchor, who knows, maybe they'll play again. We're all, like, really good friends, but there's no real plans, you know what I mean, of anything.
But tell me how you got together with Ken Haas.
So years ago, when I was in Left in Ruin, Reverend Guitars sponsored me playing guitar. So Joe Naylor, who is the guitar designer.
Yes, Joe Naylor.
Like,
who's also got a cousin named Mike Naylor here in Pedro, and that's one of the reasons I'm connected with these guys.
Oh, that's right, dude. You told me that. Joe sponsored me through Reverend, and I met Ken, and we kind of liked each other and hit it off. And you ready for this?
Bring it.
We became friends, right?
Right.
And so for a Halloween one year, he was like, hey, let's do a Dag Nasty cover band. And I was like, yeah, totally. So we did.
Why Dag Nasty?
Yeah, man, Dag Nasty. So I sang.
Why?
Because we both liked the Can I Say record so much.
Dave Smalley?
Yep. So
he was a descent for a little bit.
Yeah, totally, man, totally. I ended up doing my first tour of Japan was with Dave Smalley's other band. What are they called? I'm blanking out, man. What was his other band? His band they still doing?
Man, you're
right
talking
now.
To Captain Alzheimer's.
Oh, Down by Law.
Down by Law, of course.
Yeah. My first tour of Japan was with Dave. And
so tell me about your first gig with Ken Haas.
So it was like a Dag Nasty cover band.
Right. It's a Halloween gig doing Dag Nasty covers.
Yeah, for Halloween, man. For Halloween.
And are you guys wearing costumes?
Nah. We just played the whole
album. I thought you dressed up like Dave Smalley.
I should have, right? I should have bleached my hair out blonde or something. But, and so then it was like we just kind of kept hitting it off as friends, you know what I mean? It was more like we're homies, and I was like, hey, I'm starting this, like,
you know, Raymond Pettibone told me friends should be in bands because it does get to people hating each other and shit, right? And the idea of just playing with your friends is just the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm really lucky in that aspect, dude. Like, the Traitors and the Suicide Machines, like, they're my friends, you know what I mean? Beautiful. Outside of a band, they're like my...
I think that's really important.
My family, you know?
I think it's really important because at the end of the day, it's about people.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
People ask me about the old days. I say it was about people. I think New Days is about people, too.
Yeah, Jason, that's no different.
It's such an honor to have you on the show. I want you to keep on keeping on. I can't wait to hear more Suicide Machine, more Jay Navarro and the Traitors music. So when you get it, will you please bring it so I can play it?
Absolutely. I'd love it. Love it. Thank you so much. Love for you to play it.
Okay. Keep on keeping on. Peebles August 21, 2021 edition, live from Peebles. So keep your powder dry.